Technology. It's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun. It can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. An animal disease lab aimed at protecting the U.S. food supply is now facing some opposition. The proposed National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, or NBAF, is slated to be built in Manhattan, Kansas. Experts say a release of the wildly contagious foot-and-mouth disease at the site could cost the livestock industry millions, even billions, of dollars in damages. Laura Ziegler has been following the story for Harvest Public Media and has this update on the lab's progress.
If you go and look at the NBAF site, you're going to see a huge hole in the ground, much like the hole that's been there since ground was broken almost a year ago. But the Department of Homeland Security, which will operate the lab, actually just got title to the land in December. The city of Manhattan officially deeded over the 47-acre site, a move supporters hope will breathe new life into the beleaguered lab. Congress has frozen funding at $90 million amidst questions of security and necessity. Is the fiscal cliff and pressing budget debate distracting Congress from what may seem like a low-priority item? No, says Vice President for Research at Kansas State University, Ron Truen.
It's fairly clear there is a commitment by DHS to move forward.
Truen is referring to comments by DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano to Kansas Senator Jerry Moran in a Senate hearing in September. During those hearings, Secretary Napolitano told the senator that an NBAF-like lab was, in her words, critical to protect the U.S. from emerging and easily transferable pathogens. In answer to Moran's questions, Secretary Napolitano said DHS would partner with Kansas to get the Level 4 lab built in Manhattan. The secretary's statement came just a couple months after scientists with the National Research Council issued a report that raised significant questions about the lab. While the NRC report affirmed the necessity for a top-security lab to protect the nation's food supply, it questioned the scale of the proposal. The scientists found that the proposed $1.1 billion lab might not need to be so huge and that it could well work in tandem with existing labs around the country. K-State's Dr. Truen says that is not going to happen.
Since that came out, where they had argued that perhaps a smaller facility would work, it's been pretty well confirmed that it would be higher cost trying to redesign than going forward with what's already designed.
But the controversy over the lab just seems to escalate. Opponents, ranchers, scientists, and residents of Manhattan continue their efforts to stop it. Gary Conrad is both a resident of Manhattan and a biologist at K-State. Speaking as a citizen, he said, and not on behalf of the university, he begged commissioners at the recent Manhattan City Commission hearing not to transfer the land to DHS. He said it was within their power to kill it.
The approval of NBAF went step by step. And if you gentlemen decide not to approve this step, that would stop it.
Some members of the commission said they shared Conrad's concerns about security at the lab, but believed the project was too far along for Manhattan to make a difference. Here's Commissioner Wynn Butler.
And you've got the federal government that says all the experts claim it will work in spite of my reservations and yours, and the state government seems to believe it, and that's why I say I just don't think it's the city commission's place to derail this at this point. It still may never get built in the long run, but that's going to depend on our Congress. I don't think we're going to settle that problem here.
The state of Kansas has made $105 million in bonds available to begin construction of a power plant on the site. But Congress hasn't been so forthcoming. Last year's funding was slashed from $150 to $50 million, and there is no new federal money in the pipeline right now. Kansas Senators Pat Roberts and Jerry Moran did not return phone calls for this story. Congresswoman Lynn Jenkins, whose district would house the NBAF, emailed an upbeat but nonspecific statement saying the project will be in good shape now that DHS has the land. Jenkins and other NBAF supporters point out there's another reason to believe NBAF will be built in Manhattan. They say studies going on right now at the Biosecurity Research Institute, a so-called Level 3 lab just adjacent to the NBAF site, will transfer to its Level 4 neighbor. The BRI was a major part of the incentive package Kansas offered DHS in trying to win NBAF. As controversy and budgets drag out the progress on the NBAF, the director of the BRI, Stephen Higgs, says it's possible NBAF won't be built.
It might not happen. My prediction is that it will. There's a great deal of support for it, and there's a great need for it.
Higgs also said research will continue at the BRI whether NBAF comes online or not. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Laura Ziegler.
Every year, the American Association for the Advancement of Science selects fellows based on their contributions to scientific fields. Last year, the University of Missouri had 6 faculty members earn the esteemed honor. Stephen Alexander is a professor of biological sciences at MU and was one of the recipients. He sat down with KBIA's Alexandra Olgan back in December to discuss the award and his research.
Can you tell me a little bit about your research?
The primary problem we're interested in is why tumors become resistant to the drugs that are used to treat them. Specifically, about 15 years ago, we got interested in a drug called cisplatin, which is widely used to treat a variety of tumors. And in almost all the cases, tumors will ultimately become resistant to the drug. There had been a lot of work done on this drug, but there was quite a bit of confusion. And I had the idea that we could use genetics to sort some of this out. So we work on a simple organism we can do genetics on, and we got mutant lines that were resistant to the drug. And these allowed us to identify what genes were involved and what proteins were involved. And we sorted through this and found a couple novel enzymes that were involved in making cells resistant to the drug, and we followed up on one of these for the next 12 or 14 years.
So what are the real-world implications for someone who has cancer right now?
One of the things that we discovered was that we could sensitize cells to this drug using another drug. A tumor that might be resistant to cisplatin at a certain level is a real problem therapeutically because you can't raise the concentration of the drug you're using. But by using a secondary drug, we can make those tumors more sensitive to the first drug.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I just want to say again that I'm very grateful for getting this award and just very, very happy that it came my way.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. To hear this episode and listen to others, just visit our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.